Afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Reuters Roundtable. My name is Staffan Walker, multimedia journalist from Our Nation. Now, to my right, we actually have Aaron Spencer. Now, Aaron Spencer, a little bit about him, is our guest for this edition of Reuters Roundtable. He is an alumni of Harrison's College, 7 years, and currently attends Baylor University. He is a junior at the aforementioned university, and he set a number of personal best this season in the 400 and 200 meters. This season, he also had some race wins under his belt at the Big 12 Outdoor Track and Field Championships. Texum A&M Alumni Muster, UCF Knights Invite, and Michael Johnson Invitational. This season has been the most successful year as an athlete to date, and he's a junior national record holder in the triple jump as well. So he's a multifaceted athlete. It appears he's more of a jumper competing in the long jump and triple jump events more often than others, dating back to his junior years, and is a crucial part of the Baylor 4x4 meter team. We're actually going to talk a little bit about 4x4 exploits, considering what happened at the Barbados Grand Prix over the weekend. Aaron has won 17 medals across his BSAC career and 5 medals at Carifta Games. He's collected 3 of those 5 medals in 2022 edition of the Carifta Games. He's related to 2008 Beijing Olympic competitor Andre Cross. Thank you so much, Mr. Spencer, for the correction. He's currently pursuing a degree in health kinesiology. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. And Legion Studies, that's an interesting facet of study. He's currently interning as an assistant strength and conditioning coach. And he's the captain of the track and field team, member of the football team, and a founder of the after-school tennis program. So like I said, he is a multifaceted gentleman, dipping his tools in different things. He is a licensed and certified performance enhancement specialist. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Aaron Spencer. Welcome to Nation Publishing, welcome to Nation Digital, and welcome to the Writers Room team.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
So you were talking a little bit earlier. Tell us a little bit about your day. How are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm good. Obviously, we had a very, very hectic weekend this weekend. So right now, it's just a little resting and recovering and getting my legs back underneath me for the Barbados National Championships.
So before we go to this weekend, the Barbados Grand Prix, very big and important event, especially for Barbados athletics. Tell us a bit about your love for track and field.
Yeah, track and field has been a part of my life for about 10 years now. I started to take it a little bit more seriously when I was about 12, 13 years old. And I mean, ever since then, I've you know, done well at a local stage, and then I went on to a regional and international level. So it's been a huge part of my life for a long period of time, and I will always be grateful for it, because it has, you know, it's molded me into the person I am today, and it has poured into me so much, and I'm very dedicated to pour into the sport as much as it has poured into me.
Of course, you mentioned your love of track and field and your development and such. Like, of course, to develop, you have to go somewhere. You went to Harrison's College College with a K.
Yes, I did.
As they say, and you won 17 medals at BSAC. That's kind of unprecedented for a lot of athletes. And you are a two-time Victor Ludor. Not many people can have a claim to that. How do you think your journey has prepared you for the NCAA track and field level?
Very well. I think the competition at the BSAC championships, obviously I grew up competing a lot against a lot of highly talented guys. And then as we went into the, you know, it was a stepping stone towards regional meets like Carifta Games and then NACAD championships. And then that was a stepping stone to college. And I think everything is just a building block. And I think Harrison College played a huge role in my development as an athlete and a person. And I'm really thankful for my 7 years I spent at Harrison College.
You talked about athletes and competition. Mm-hmm. Of course, usually we have rivals. Whether it be school, people you may have met competing. Mm-hmm. Some of those rivalries are friendly.
Tell us a bit
about some of those friendly rivalries you may have had over the years.
I like to see it as inspiration. When I was younger, I used to look up to a lot of the jumpers that I passed through, to be specific. Guys like Anderson Graves, Jonathan Miller, I used to look up to those guys. And then as I got older, and I was also doing a lot of other events. So I remember Jonathan Jones. He's a good friend and a very, very inspirational athlete. And I used to look up to him, and I used to look up to guys like Kyle Gale from St. Michael's School at the time. Mm-hmm. And in terms of rivalries, obviously, you know, as you grow up, you would see certain people a lot. And I think one of those people, I would say, actually competed in the Grand Prix, Shaquem McKay. I was actually telling him, he's from Trinidad. I've been competing against him since I was about 12 years old. Mm-hmm. And even in college, I see him at different meets and other events. So there are certain names and certain faces that you see often, and it's always a joy to compete against them.
Well, of course, you transitioned from BSAC, and you mentioned a little bit about collegiate level. And yes, NCAA is big business, especially yes, in America. Not just big business from a financial perspective, mm-hmm. for these schools. I know, of course, just the NIL contracts and stuff that athletes now get, which has been a big coup yep. in the last couple years. What are your thoughts on that development in the NCAA for NIL and such like?
I think it's a great development. I think it's really important for athletes work hard, so it's really important for athletes to be remunerated, because I mean the NCAA makes a lot of money off of athletes' image and likeness. So it's important for athletes to get to benefit from that. So I think it's a very great and huge, you know, step in the right direction, and I hope it continues in that trajectory for sure.
So speaking of NIL, have you been approached anyone NIL?
Yeah, it's a little tricky because of international stipulations, but you just gotta kind of work your way around it a bit. Yeah.
Okay, now with regards to NCAA and such, mm-hmm. like I'm a big fan of mm-hmm. the whole collegiate aspect of that. Mm-hmm. But you go to the various meets, you participate, it's very, very competitive.
Yeah.
And of course, for those who watch American mm-hmm. sports, especially collegiate sports, the mm-hmm. schools, the rivalries, LSU, you state universities and yeah. such like that. Do you get involved in any of that college rivalry that they
yeah,
have?
Yeah, yeah. It's great. It's great, obviously, because we grew up, you know, watching BSAC, and you know, the school rivalries are always high at those levels. And then for it to carry over to the NCAA level is something that I grew up like that. I grew up, you know, being rivals with different schools, and it's great that, you know, that they could be bantered towards other schools, and, you know, you can go back and forth, and I strive off of things like that. So it's always helpful for me for sure. Especially being a part of the 4x4 and things of that nature, you know, you would get a lot of that. So,
well, one thing that's a bit different with regards to our athletics mm-hmm. Here in this region, especially in Barbados and in America, is the coverage. Mm-hmm. You guys are in the face. If people turn on Disney Plus, you get yeah. to see the athletes competing.
Yeah.
So you get a little bit more exposure to the media, mm-hmm. a little bit more accustomed to that. How has that helped develop you as an athlete?
It has helped, because, you know, you get to, you know, see what it's like to be in the public eye, mm-hmm. and as you get comfortable with that, you know, you start to be able to, you know, start to be able to show yourself and show your personality a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So I think it's helped a lot, especially being, you know, from BSAT days, you know, there's a lot of coverage, on that, and, you know, it's helped develop me into, an athlete, like in the public eye. So, yeah.
Now, next thing we're going to talk about here is you are currently a national junior record holder in a triple jump with a jump of 15.80 meters.
Yes, sir.
Tell us a little bit about that memory.
Yeah, that was at the 2022 Carifta Games in Jamaica. And I definitely expected to break it, because I was kind of close towards that mark for a long time. The mark before was 15.68. So I was kind of close to that for a long time. And when the season began, me and my coach had planned to break it. And when it happened at the Carifta Games, at such a big event, it was really emotional for me, because it was a 30-year-old record. It's dating back to the 1990s. So it was very emotional for me, very meaningful for me, especially for me and my coach. And it was a big deal, and it kind of set the trajectory for the rest of my career.
With regards, you know, you spoke of coaching.
Yeah.
And of course, there's lots can be said. People kind of compare the coaching facilities here in the region, coaching overseas. Do you find anything different? Any different as your people say, levels?
Yeah. Here, obviously, it's a lot more personal, I would say, because obviously when you get to an NCAA level, you're dealing with a lot more athletes and a lot more personalities. So it might, you can get a personal aspect of it, but I would say here in Barbados, it's a lot more in like a lot more one-on-one, which makes sense because of how the magnitude of the NCAA. But I think once you adapt to both situations, you'll be fine.
With regards to talking about personalities, now, of course, in athletics, a personality is always good for the television. You have Usain Bolts with his personality. Of course, you have Mo Lawley, the Shaquiri Richardson's, and of course, Mommy Rocket and so on. People that you can identify with. What kind of personality does Aaron Spencer have?
I like to entertain. I think that's always kind of been my purpose in life, is to continue to entertain. And I like to use my sport, you know, to showcase that, especially being a jumper, you know, you see jumpers getting the crowd involved and, you know, just kind of putting on a show for everybody. And I kind of like to, you know, showcase that in my sport. And then in other events, obviously the 400, the 4x4, you saw the 4x4, you know, we like to put on a show. And I think it's carried, you know, my personality is carried through and throughout my career.
Now, some people kind of look at the personalities and think, well, this athlete's a little bit cocky, this athlete's a little bit arrogant. And of course, there's a fine line between arrogance and, of course, having a sense of pride in one's ability. Where do you think the line is drawn?
Yeah, there is a fine line. You don't want to, I don't want to cross it. You know, you want to have fun. You want to have, get your crowd involved. And you know, sometimes that could, you know, come off the wrong way. But, you know, once you're confident, once you have fun with it, normally the crowd is very, the public is very, you know, responsive of that. And, you know, once you don't do too much, you'll be fine.
All right. Well, of course, since you're currently a sophomore at Ballard University, pursuing a degree in, as I said before, health and kinesiology and religious studies, while also being a Ballard track and field athlete, of course, in the 4x14. What's it like being a student athlete?
My career at Baylor has been kind of, it's been up and down. The first 2 years, were a little bit rough because obviously I came in as a jumper and that came with some injuries to the point where my first year I had an ankle injury, and then my second year I had a hamstring injury to the point where I had to take the year off. So I wasn't really doing, you know, contributing much in my first 2 years, but I'm thankful that my third year, you know, I had a conversation with my coach. We kind of took the year off from jumping and kind of just focused on the 400 meters and the 4x4, and I was very thankful that I was able to still contribute to Baylor University and the, you know, in the 4x4. And, you know, we made it all the way to the NCAA championships in the 4x4. So I'm just, you know, it's been a rough ride so far, but I can find myself coming into my own slowly but surely.
Like you said, the coach encouraged you to take a little bit from the jumping and focus on the running. So what was their thinking behind that with regards to separating you from the jumping? Was the jumping really affecting your body that much, whereas the running not so much?
Yeah, so right now I'm in the process of actually changing my leg that I take off with. And that takes some time. That takes some time and some, you know, some details. So I kind of just took the year to kind of work on that, just so I could jump without pain. And so obviously when you're jumping, you apply so much pressure on that one joint. And running doesn't really, you know, hurt to that extent. So, just took the year to kind of work on different things in my jumping. And kind of, it's almost like I was relearning how to jump again. But in the meanwhile, I knew I had a gift. And I'm thankful that, you know, I grew up being able to do different events and different, you know, I can kind of fit seamlessly into different events if something goes wrong or if something doesn't, you know, isn't going as planned. And that's what I did for the 400 meters. So I'm thankful that I can still be able to contribute in that event.
Start your day with the Nation News ePaper. Enjoy the accessibility and new upgrades of the Nation News ePaper daily, whether on our mobile app or Nation News website. For added convenience, use our new audio read feature, which reads the newspaper aloud, or look in the archives for any publications you may have missed. Get your news, your time, your way with the Nation News ePaper and enjoy our new upgrades.
Now tell us a little bit about the student athlete aspect. Mm-hmm. You know, some people talk about the rigors of being a student athlete.
Yeah.
you have athletics, mm-hmm. you have to balance that with studies.
Yeah.
And of course, it's not the 1970s anymore where you can get a C-plus average.
Mm-hmm.
These universities require good averages, 3.0, 4.0, that kind of stuff. So how do you balance that? You're getting up early in the morning, you're going to train, you're going to school, then still having to go to meets, still you're coming back from meet, you make our study going to meet. So.
I'd be honest and say I kind of still struggle with it because it requires a lot of details and a lot of, you know, just being on top of every single thing is very, a lot of micromanaging. So I would be honest and say I struggle with it still and still kind of figuring my way around it and, you know, how to make sure that I don't procrastinate, how to ensure that, you know, I'm keeping on top of my grades. And my grades are good, but it's just stressful trying to keep them up. So I'm trying to find, you know, a place where I can, you know, kind of do everything seamlessly without too much stress.
Do you find there's other, like, student athletes like yourself at school that you guys kind of, like, use each other for that inspiration, stay together, study together to keep it going?
Yeah, for sure. I live with two of my teammates, so that helps a lot. And we have a lot of support at Baylor. We have a lot of support, academically, athletically, financially. Like, it's a lot of, a lot of moving parts, and they make sure that they don't set you up to fail. So, you know, I'm always appreciative of that. And I think moving forward, I'm going to have to use my resources to my advantage a little bit more.
So we kind of move past it a little bit, but I just want to cut back to athletes getting scholarships. So you got a scholarship from them. They offer you a scholarship?
Yes, sir.
So what was that offer? What was that moment like? Oh, I'm being offered a scholarship at this big university. What was that like?
It was cool. I think there was a year that I was kind of being recruited during COVID. So it was kind of rough, you know, trying to find different schools because I knew I wanted to go overseas. So I was reaching out to different schools and stuff like that. And I was getting some offers, but honestly, not, you know, any that I would want to, you know, pack my bags and leave immediately. So I actually ended up taking a gap year, and in that gap year, that was probably the best decision I had made, because I ended up, you know, doing a lot better in track, and then I was getting a lot more attention from other schools. And that, in that period, I also traveled to different meets overseas, because there were not any meets happening in Barbados at the time. So I traveled to different meets, and I traveled to a meet in Eugene, Oregon. And that's where I actually met the coach at Baylor University. And ever since then, I was communicating with him, and then I was able to visit the school. He flew me out, and I visited the school, and he offered me a full scholarship. And I will honestly, to God, I will never forget that moment, because you know, it's a big deal to get a full scholarship in track and field. You know, it doesn't come as often as you might think. So it was a really big deal for me, especially at a school like Baylor, who's been well renowned for athletics for a long period of time. So I'm always thankful, you know, to Coach Michael Ford for offering me that scholarship. And it's been a ride since then.
Of course, we watch it and we see it on television. And so when we watch the college and high school movies and such, like you walk into the university or into the high school, and as soon as you walk through the doors, there's like large cabinets full of trophies showcasing this is who we are, this is what we are, whether it is academics or athletics, so that you as an academic or athletic person at the school knows this is the standard. And was it kind of like that when you first walked through the doors?
Yeah. Because obviously the legacy of Baylor speaks for itself. As you said, you walk and you see all the trophy cabinets, and you see, you know, the conference championships and stuff like that. And then you see all the superstars that passed through Baylor. Michael Johnson went to Baylor, and then Trayvon Bromell, who's one of the fastest men, you know, in the world right now, also went to Baylor. So you see, you know, athletes like that, and you know, you see the standard of athletics at the school, and you know it's inspirational. You want to get to that level, and the fact that, you know, people that are in your shoes have done it before. It's very, you know, inspirational.
Like, I can imagine going in there and you're seeing Michael Johnson,
yeah,
and you're saying, well, that is some big shoes to fill, even if you're not exactly doing the same events as he does. Speaking of big shoes to fill, speaking of setting a standard, you set your own standard when you were 22 years old. You conceptualized the recently concluded Barbados Grand Prix.
Yes, sir.
What was your role in the meet? What was it like processing and bringing that meat to life?
Yeah, as I said, I conceptualized the idea. As we talked about BSAT before, and ever since BSAT, you know, it's been rough because I've been searching for a team, to be a part of a team where you know that compete against each other, especially locally at home. So I said, why can't we have an event like that? And then I kind of got inspired by like events like CPL and IPL and the cricket competitions where, athletes are drafted. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why can't, athletes have that in track and field? Mm-hmm. So I kind of brought that idea to my dad, and I want to emphasize how much of an important role my dad played in this. He's the one that kind of fielded the team to help us, pull off this event. And ever since then, I was kind of in charge of, reaching out to the athletes, and I was kind of like the kind of talent liaison. Reaching out to athletes, making sure they're on board and being a part of the event like this. And then I was kind of like the communication person for the athletes, because I'm familiar with a lot of them. As I mentioned, we had an incredible team of my dad, Rupert Spencer, Andre Prokop, he served as the meet director. Mm. Marvel Burt was our secretary. And then we had Paul Skinner and Tyler Innes. They were also helping us. They were also helping us, put together this historic event. So I'm just thankful, to my team.
Now, you mentioned the draft of when I first spoke to your father about it. And you mentioned the draft aspect of it was automatically taken to things like the draft in the NFL, the NBA, the WWE draft, where you sit down, you call some names and people are in first pick, second pick, third pick, that kind of stuff. So when you saw the video online, Patrick Bellamy and everyone is looking around, looking at the best names and such, like, what was that feeling like observing that, seeing that?
Yeah, I watched that from home. I was so impressed by the production and the... It was everything I could have imagined and more, because I was in Texas watching it, online. No, I actually was in Oregon at the national championships, watching it from home. And I always, for a long time, I've been a fan of the NBA and the NFL. I've always wondered why they couldn't have something like that in track and field, where, athletes are drafted to different teams. I've always wondered about that. And, I said, why not? Why can't we? And I kind of wanted to implement that. And I'm happy that Barbados is the first, country to do it. And I hope that, I would be inspired if other, if I see it being done in other areas.
So with regards to drafts and such, the draft happened. You were selected for your team.
Yes, I was.
So it's like, that. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about the team that you were on.
Yeah, I was a part of the Lions team. Placed third. Not, you want to win, but... My coach Jamal Grove is the person that drafted me, and I told him if he didn't draft me, it would be problems. it's all fun and games, I was just happy that we had an event where we had different teams, and I was a part of a team, and there was banter, there was back and forth amongst the athletes and the coaches, and I was just thankful just to be a part of that.
Now, on the day, it's time for the event. You're there. Oh, actually, before we get there, athletics response. How did the athletes really respond?
Oh, they were so happy. They were so happy because I'll be honest, you don't get a lot of opportunities like this, especially past the secondary school level. And you go into the college ranks, you don't get a lot of opportunities like this, to come home and to, get excited about a meet. A lot of the athletes, for example, Jonathan Jones, he hadn't come home to compete since 2019. So, so he was thankful. Athletes like him are just so thankful for the opportunity. And it was such a high level competition. And the athletes were just so blessed just to be a part of it. Because the start of something a lot greater in track and field in Barbados. And I think that the athletes feel, inspired that they were a kind of a part of history.
Well, there was a moment, because as the event was going on, Shadi came out, she ran, John Owen, yourself, 400 meters, and everyone's running throughout the day. But then, that event, that marquee event, that 4x4 relay, you versus Jamaica versus Grenada, and so on and so forth. Now, that last leg, and there's something I noticed while there, the crowd were up, they were enjoying it, but then Then they got on that back straight, that home straight to come home. And it looked like if Barbara was going to lose it for a moment. And then Raheem, he put on the
put
on those afterburners.
Yes, he did.
And the crowd rose up and there was this feeling in the air. How did that feel?
That was, out of body experience. You know, just being a part, I haven't even had the opportunity to wear Barbados colors since the Corrector game. So I was so blessed to be a part of that team, man. And I'm just happy that I was able to, you know, that we were able to put on such a show in front of the home crowd. And it was a very, very, you know, like inspirational moment. It felt like I get goosebumps just thinking about it. Because especially how it was done, you know, it came down to the last, to 6 milliseconds. It came down to the line. It was a photo finish. And you can't write anything, you know, better than that. You can't. But so it was, again, an out-of-body experience for me. I actually haven't really sat down and really thought about it. But, you know, seeing the videos and seeing the response of the crowd and stuff like that, it was incredible, honestly.
Give us your overall thoughts now. Everything is done. You've had a couple of days to sit with the event. Give us your overall thoughts on year one of the Barbados Grand Prix.
The organizing was stress. That was stress. That was a lot of stress, especially, you know, I'm trying to balance it with, you know, my studies. And then obviously when you come home, you're also competing in the event. So it was stressful, a lot of micromanaging and a lot. I'm happy that, you know, I experienced that and we as a team experienced that. Because you realize how much little details it comes into play when you're trying to put on such a big event. So I would say it was very, very stressful, but it was very rewarding, you know, to see the numbers come out. I'm talking like 3,000-4,000 people in Usain Bolt Stadium. It was, you know, it was incredible. I hadn't seen Usain Bolt, you know, that packed in a long time. I'm talking 4 o'clock. The event starts at 6 and people are lining up outside the stadium trying to get in. So that in itself was rewarding. And for me, like the response of the athletes, because that's why I wanted to do it for the athletes who don't really get an opportunity like this a lot. The response from them, they're also thankful and so grateful and they really embraced the moment. And I was that's all I wanted. And the fact that, you know, we've gotten an overwhelming amount of support and praise from, you know, different avenues. So we are so grateful and we are definitely looking forward to doing it again, but in a bigger and even, you know, brighter stage, hopefully get a stadium at some point, and it can, you know, increase even more.
No, there's two aspects. You talked about entertainment, and I love a bit of pageantry. I love a bit of entertainment myself. But there's two aspects of the games that I was actually very pleased to hear. Firstly, when you guys had the podium set up, when you guys came through the pyrotechnics that came through, you could pose, could show off, that kind of stuff. That's important, guessing. It makes the athletes feel comfortable. And of course, athletes were paid for competing.
Yes.
How important was that?
Yeah, very important. You know, just for athletes to feel, you know, that they could be, you know, they can benefit from their performance, especially the professionals. A lot of the athletes were either here in Barbados training, not on the NCAA circuit, or they were just got out of the NCAA and they were trying to find themselves into the pro circuit. So I think this is a really good starting point for a lot of the professional athletes. Obviously, the NCAA athletes couldn't be paid in the same manner as the professional athletes just because of NCAA stipulations. But all in all, obviously the athletes, everyone even loves money. So, you know, obviously the athletes were thankful for the opportunity. And especially, as I mentioned, the athletes that are now, you know, kind of starting their pro career, this was a perfect meet for them to kind of, you know, get their feet wet. And it was very encouraging for a lot of the newly professional athletes. And I'm thankful that we were able to create that platform for them because there's not a lot of opportunities for track and field athletes to get prize money unless you're in a Diamond League or in the New League Grand Slam. So I think this was for athletes who were kind of like on the cusp of kind of being able to compete in those Diamond League meets or those Grand Slam meets. And it's good, as we like to call it, developmental meet. And I think it's a big stepping stone for a lot of the professional athletes. So we're thankful that we were able to create that platform for them.
Well, we'll ask you one final question. You mentioned Diamond League just now. But of course, we had three important men at that event. Of course, you had the president of the BBA.
Yeah.
Then, of course, you had the president of the Jamaican Athletic Association and the president, of course, of the Trinidad Athletic Association.
Yes,
two very important men. They came together and there were talks about doing something triangular between the region. That's important. And you mentioned something else as well. You're hoping that it comes around the region. You had Grenada there.
Yeah.
You had athletes from BBA. You had athletes from Cayman Islands.
Yes, sir.
And so on. One athlete also said she's not a big fan of traveling, so she's kind of glad that she could come to Barbados and do that.
Yeah.
How important would it be to have our own Diamond League in the region, where we have an athlete, we have a meet in Puerto Rico, a meet in Haiti, a meet in Guadeloupe, a meet in Grenada, Trinidad, and so on? How important is that?
I think that would be incredible. As you said, there are a lot of athletes who are, a lot of regional athletes who are on the cusp of, making those Diamond League circuits that who may really not necessarily make the cut, but who are on the cusp of it. I think an idea like that would be incredible for those athletes who are kind of like us, who kind of need that stepping stone towards the next level. And, there's, as you said, you mentioned travel. A lot of athletes are not able to get to Europe or Asia or, those other places where the Diamond Leagues are taking place. So I think regional competition for me is important. It's important. There's not a lot of opportunities past CRIF to, for athletes, for Caribbean athletes to compete against each other. So I'm happy that, the Grand Prix has sparked that kind of conversation. And I'm hoping that something like that can come off for sure.
Thank you so much, Aaron.
Of course.
And once again, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
On your career and your studies and so on.
Thank you.
That you continue to get those GPAs.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Appreciate me having you.